It's time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 underway. Top 4 at 4 brought to you by White Claw. Here's Tucker Harlan.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, Tennessee sits at number 1 in D1 Baseball's poll this week. This is the second time the Vols have reached number 1 in the Vitello era, the first being in 2022.
And that went well until it didn't. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, did you see the College Football Daily account this morning?
I did not.
Said the last time Tennessee baseball was number 1, and it was a picture of Notre Dame dogpiling. Ugh.
Well.
Yeah, it was rude.
Are we at Omaha or bust? Are we good?
Getting there?
I think if you host a super, I'm not going to say bust, but it'd be disappointing.
We have a lot of demons to exercise if we end up hosting that super. Which we almost assuredly going to host, be in position to host the super, right? At this point,
yes. Again, the RPI has us at 8, which means technically we're in danger of slipping out. But you're ranked number 1. I don't know how they would say the number 1 ranked team in the country, if it holds, will not host a super regional. Seems unlikely.
At number 2, Kentucky transfer Adu Thiero is following head coach John Calipari to Arkansas. Thiero averaged 7 points and 5 rebounds per game for the Wildcats last season. For those keeping track, Arkansas now has an Adu and an Adu.
Well, that's just confusing, Tucker.
That's going to confuse the Arkansas fans.
So it's Adu Thiero
and Jonas Adu.
Okay.
Adu passes to Adu. They will eventually bid Arkansas adieu.
I guess it helps that they're not both a last name and a first name, because that would really get confusing.
That would be bad.
Thiero averaged 7.2 points, 5 rebounds a game in 21 minutes this past year at Kentucky. It'll be his junior season, so I mean he's got some experience. Decent roster of putting together down there. Brought John L. Davis in from FAU, Big Z, to get some size, and then 3 5 stars: Boogie Fland, Carter Knox. Remember the other one? It's headed down there. So nice. newsflash: John Calipari gets players. Where have we heard this before?
But do you remember a few weeks ago when Kentucky was, now he won't be able to get the players. They were all coming here because of Kentucky.
They've got a nice little rivalry going, Kentucky and Arkansas. I guess they always have two historic programs like that, but now there's a personal
thing
right there.
I mean, it was pretty heated back in the early to late 90s. Corliss Williams.
No, man, I remember the first year Arkansas came in, I think it was an epic NCAA championship game, and Todd Daly, Mayberry, all those guys going up against Jamal Mashburn and Travis Ford. And glory days, SEC basketball, when it truly mattered.
At number 3, the Arizona Bowl has a new sponsor. Snoop Dogg's Gin and Juice Company is the first alcoholic brand to sponsor a bowl game. The Arizona Bowl, for the previous 3 years, have been sponsored by Barstool Sports.
Barstool ran its course? Or
apparently. Or maybe they got another bowl somewhere.
I was going to say, I wonder if they're going to pick up another bowl or if they already have. I don't think they'd want to give that up.
That the way these bowl games have gotten crazy with the sponsors and the Pop-Tarts and the Cheez-Its guy and everything, what is Snoop Dogg going to do at the – you know that's going to be a production.
Is weed legal in Arizona?
Bear. We go to the expert. I think so. Seems like it would be.
I don't know. They're kind of a strange state.
Yeah, they're kind of like conservative and McCain, and
but then they're kind of not
on the border. Lots of. I don't know. Would that be stereotypical to say that our friends from more equatorial regions of the globe enjoy smoking a little reefer, a little doobage? a little wacky tobacky? Perhaps. That will be fun, though. I for one, am. I mean, why didn't we just skip the gin and juice and get to the Chronic Bowl? Live from the city of Compton.
City of Compton.
Hosted by Dr. Dre and Snoop. Winning team gets to chief a blunt with Snoop.
You know, he's got an employee that's what they do.
A roller.
Makes like 50 grand a year plus bennies.
He should have, that's what they, you know, they had the Pop-Tart. The winning team gets to eat him. Benny the blunt. Winning team gets to smoke him. The first smokable mascot in bowl game history.
I don't know, man. Call me crazy. I don't think that'd fly.
I don't think that would be a good idea. Get the mascot on fire.
Oh, you cowards.
Jenny and Jay, the gin and juice mascots. You get to drink them at the end. Everybody gets smashed. Everybody gets hammered. Everybody gets blitzed.
Smashed! And finally, at number four, amid the Los Angeles Lakers coaching search, the Dallas Mavericks have given head coach Jason Kidd an extension. In two of Kidd's seasons as the head man in Dallas, the Mavericks have won playoff series, and one of those seasons, they made an appearance in the Western Conference Finals.
No, I'm getting old when Jason Kidd is on his, third NBA coaching job? I didn't even realize he was with the Mavs.
Yeah, because he was with the Nets first, I think.
Was he with the Bucks for a year? He was somewhere really short. He was somewhere where he was only there for a year. And then he moved on. But he was a good player, man. A little problem off the court, as I recall.
What'd he get in trouble for?
I believe he liked to wear a particular type of undershirt with no sleeves.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. He was with the Nets for a year, the Bucks for four, the Lakers as an assistant for two, Mavericks starting in 2021.
Is that it?
That's it.
There we go. Top four at four, brought to you this afternoon by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of delicious fruit flavor. Only 100 calories for those of you watching your, maybe you're washing as well, your girlish figure. It's good to stay clean out there, folks. Hygiene is important. Many refreshing flavors. Fresh watermelon, sweet tangerine, juicy lemon, each one a wave of pure refreshment. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. White Claw Hard Seltzer. It's Russell, it's Houston, it's Bear, it's Tucker Harlan. Doing the thing on a Monday afternoon. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Hope everybody enjoyed the races, the basketball, the baseball, whatever you got to get into here this weekend. We appreciate you joining us. Let's work in a call from Stevie, who's been hanging forever.
No.
Stevie gave up on us? Well, I don't blame him.
He gave up, but his phone, we may have a new champion of terrible phones.
Rivaling Titans Bill.
He's way above Bill.
Oh, boy. We haven't even gotten a Titans Bill call since we moved over here. Think about it.
Screaming into your phone does not help, Stevie.
So, I don't know if the listeners remember, but a couple of weeks ago, Stevie came on the air and invited us to a Braves game a week from today in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps against my better judgment, we have accepted. So a week from today, we are going to the Braves game. They're playing the Cubs. My allegiances will be torn. We're playing the Cubs.
We're a Braves affiliate.
In Atlanta.
You better bury those allegiances.
No house divided T-shirts on the way down there, but we're doing the show from Truist a week from today. Very exciting. We're thoroughly pumped up about that, and I've been told by new management that he will not be held responsible if Stevie kidnaps us and kills us. So it might be the last edition of The Drive.
Good.
You better pack a lunch. I'm not easy to kill.
So
noted.
It was a wild weekend in sports. You know my thoughts, my stance on the Kentucky Derby. Did not watch any of it. Did not see any of it. I understand it was a close photo finish. And then last night, I did see the GIF file, or GIF, if you so desire, of the end of the NASCAR race, which was, I watched it like 10 times. I still don't know who won. Like, I couldn't tell. It was that close of both cars. Have you seen it, Chris, of the cars going across the finish line?
Yes.
I mean, that was...
You can tell in the photos.
The closest ending to a NASCAR race in racing history. Very excited. I thought so. I mean, I never thought
that there were some other races that I never thought could be beat as far as how close they were.
No, that was incredible. That was incredible. Best finishes in sports history. I mean, there's nothing like – I've never been to a race that was that close where, I mean, can you imagine? Even if you're sitting right on the finish line, you can't tell. The human naked eye cannot tell.
Not as close as those were.
But, I mean, there's nothing like, whether you're there or whether you're watching on TV, a great sports finish. We're going to put the poll in the field this afternoon. Today's smoking hot question. Best finishes in sports history. We'll see if we can get some conversation going. 865-288-3131. If you want to jump on board here this afternoon on the program. I divided mine into two categories. Just general sports and then UT. I mean, everybody's going to have.
Miracle at South Bend.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's. Yeah, that wasn't even on my list of my top three UT amazing finishes. I've got three regular sports and three Tennessee ones. Which ones do you want to hear?
Let's start regular. We'll go Tennessee regular? Last. Yeah,
the first one that, and maybe this is just because I was 12 at the time, and you know you're still a boy. It's magical sports and everything like that. The 1992 NLCS, Francisco Cabrera singling in Sid Bream. Play at the plate. Braves win. Never forget.
I think I remember that one. Not personally, but I think I've seen it.
You're a little bit younger, so I mean, like, yeah. you probably weren't watching baseball at the time, but I was really into it. never forget Barry Bonds could not throw out a gimpy Sid Bream on a weekly hit ball to shallow left field.
What year did you say that was? 92?
92. Game 7 of the NLCS against the Pirates. It was 2-0, bottom of the ninth. All hope looked lost, and Braves got a rally going. And Frankie Cabrera, little used, like a footnote in Braves history, right? Never had any sort of impact. He's just a pinch hitter. Former Knoxville KJ came up and singled in the winning run. David Justice and Sid Bream. The other one, Michael Jordan shot over Brian Russell in the finals at Utah. Kind of an iconic moment. And say he pushed off maybe a little bit, but, you know. MJ going out to champion his final.
That was cool.
His final game, the flu game series and all that stuff. That was a great moment. And then the last one would be the Music City Miracle.
Very good finish.
Good ending, right? That was a good ending.
My first round off the top would be Bird, Celtics, Pistons. I can't remember what year it was. Bird stole the inbounds.
Oh, steals the band underneath the DJ, lays it in.
Yeah.
Great play-by-play. Whoever that old guy was from the Celtics.
Oh, God, what was his name? Oh, everybody outside of Boston hated that guy. Was it Tommy?
Was that the Havlicek stole the ball guy?
Probably the same guy.
Yeah, I thought so.
Talk like this. Havlicek stole the ball. You could literally hear the cigar smoke going into his lungs
cigarettes.
As he's doing it.
Chain smoked. I'll look it up. That one, non-Tennessee. Montana to Clark was a huge one.
The catch. Was that the end of the game? I guess it had to have been.
I think it was pretty close to it. And then, honestly, I mean, I hate both of them with every ounce of my being, but the kick six.
That was the one that came to mind first.
Oh.
I mean, that's
the kick six.
Yeah. There have been some good college football ones. The one I was thinking of was Clemson, the rollout sprint option right to beat Alabama on the last play of the game.
That was the
Stanford band, the Cal Stanford.
That's a great one. That's a classic. That's an all-timer.
Tucker, you got a sports finish that stands out in your mind?
Meow.
Oh, there's a couple. The Chris Jenkins shot at the national championship for Villanova.
That Ooh, one actually yeah. is up there for yeah. me. That was going to be – that's probably my second one. Because who is the kid from North Carolina?
Marcus Page.
He hits that crazy, acrobatic, just flailing three-pointer, and you're like, wow, how? And then just a great design by Jay Wright to get that guy the shot on the trail three. That was up there. That was a great yeah. finish.
Great call by Jim Nantz, too. Great call. Just
and a true buzzer beater for a national championship is just – I mean, you can't,
so
top,
rare.
Can't
yeah.
top it.
No, that's a good one. Kresh, you got one? And we'll take a break. We'll get Stevie in here, maybe. I'm just kidding, Stevie. We're coming to you. We're literally coming to you, man. We're going to pick you up on the way to Atlanta for a Braves game. Can you believe it, Stevie? How lucky you are?
How lucky we are.
To bask in your presence Who? For an entire day? I don't know. It might get weird.
Us. He's making us lunch.
He's making us lunch.
Stevie.
He's bringing
He's bringing brisket. Homemade.
Yeah.
He's not going to poison us while we're driving him down the interstate.
You don't like brisket?
I like brisket fine.
How do you – you're just assuming that Stevie makes bad brisket.
Stevie kind of weirds me out. I'm not going to lie. It's an honest Monday.
How are you going to say that before we go spend, I don't know, 9 hours with the guy?
Might be upfront about
my experience. Anytime somebody says I'm bringing some sort of barbecue, some sort of, especially brisket or ribs, it's usually really good.
Really good. Okay, that's fine. You can go get a little chicken sandwich from somewhere. We'll enjoy the brisket.
We're still going to Bucky's.
Which one?
There's one in Calhoun right there on the interstate.
Is there really? Down. Okay. Yeah. Yep. I didn't know that.
You may want to ride with Russ to Calhoun. I ain't stopping at Bucky's, buddy. I'll stop at a real gas
No
station.
Brisket, no Bucky's, no fun with Bear.
I might not even go to the game.
I'll just walk
sit
around.
Outside. I'm not even going to drive. I'm going to get down there by boat. I'm going to take the train.
Are you sure you want to come?
We can get you a bus ticket.
I don't need a bus ticket, buddy.
It feels like you're trying to make this as miserable as you can.
Well, no, I'm trying to ensure that I'm
not miserable.
It's not
Stevie that's going to make it weird. It's going to be you.
No, because I'm not riding with you. I told you that years ago. I don't ride with you in the car anymore. You drive like a maniac. Not on anything involving
it's
interstate
so funny
speeds.
We had a long conversation about Bear's opinion of my driving on the way to Smoky Stadium. Last week. It was very enlightening. Me and Tucker.
He drives like a damn loon.
No.
I drive a little bit faster than normal. I don't drive like a loon. I have a great no accident.
Dude, that high speed drive we made to Chattanooga terrified me. I'll never get on an interstate with you again.
Which one? I don't remember that.
We went down to that auto dealer. Me and you and Chance did a remote.
Did I drive
there.
To that?
Yep. Then we went to Cracker Barrel after.
I mean, did we, like, I don't recall anything out of the ordinary about that trip.
You got there and got back, so it couldn't have been that dangerous.
It was a little white knuckle. It was the fact that you were eating while you were driving 85 miles an hour. That was what irked me.
I was?
Yeah. We stopped at Chick-fil-A, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, what do you want from me? You don't eat while you drive?
What do I want? I want you not to eat chicken nuggets while dipping them in sauce.
People are saying they want brisket.
And your Diet Coke.
Well, I know I didn't have chicken nuggets. That's not what I ordered.
People can say all they want.
People
I love
brisket.
You
love brisket.
And he can vouch for me.
You love brisket, but you immediately, we say Stevie's bringing brisket. Like, we all get excited. I think any brisket lover, when they hear, oh, somebody's bringing brisket, their natural reaction is like, oh, cool. Like, that'll be good. Even
Can't
if
Can't wait to try that.
Yeah, your reaction to that is, ugh.
It was literally, meh. You sounded like a cat with
your
an
Your reaction ball. Is he going to poison me? That's what it is. I trust Stevie.
Me too.
What would be in it for Stevie to poison you? Why do you think he would do that?
It's really not Stevie. I don't, when people, I'm not big on eating food that I don't know where it's been cooked.
I mean, you go through drive-thrus all the time. You
have no
idea what's happening back there.
And they have health inspections. I've got a general idea of what happens back there.
You have no idea who's making the food, what kind of day they've had. You don't see it. They just hand it to you in a bag, and you open it up and trustingly shovel it down your gullet. I know Stevie, my good friend, is going to want to make a good impression on me.
Stevie's just a very odd dude that calls into our show frequently. I don't think I'm embellishing or exaggerating that at all. Can't put it on the list because, I mean, Houston's watch.
What's the difference between brisket and pulled pork?
Huh? Well, because
what
brisket,
is the difference between brisket and pulled
beef.
Pork?
Russ, it's not
it's
swine.
It's smoked meat.
And Houston's watched me eat. I demolished those brisket nachos down there. Corner 16.
Yeah, so, you like those. What?
So Stevie's going to bring
weird ass
some
Stevie
fresh.
Wasn't back in the kitchen making them.
Stevie's going to bring some fresh brisket. It's probably, you know, I mean, it's going to smell. Even bad brisket smells good.
Yeah,
you're going to get that. We're going to be sitting around there sampling this brisket. It's going to smell good. I'm assuming that we're going to enjoy it, and you're just going to sit there and like. And Stevie's going to be there, right?
Yes.
You're just going to sit there and
Stevie's
be like,
"Stevie's on hold, listening to me right now." It's nothing that I won't say as soon as I put him on live on air.
Okay, but
I'm not eating his brisket.
I'm just asking. So we're all going to be enjoying it. He's going, Bear. Would you like some? And you're just going to
no, thanks. I'm good, man.
With your arms folded, just like look, watching us enjoy the brisket.
Take it easy. Have fun.
He's going to be sitting with us. He's going to be with us the entire time down there.
Does homemade food need to be added to the list?
That's dumb as hell.
You just said you don't like eating food if
you
don't
see
it made.
You guys are painting me in a corner, and I don't want to be mean.
delicious smoked meats from someone I kind of know.
From someone I don't know. My only interactions with him, I find him to be somewhat unsettling at times and kind of a weird dude. So, yeah, I've got a little trepidation.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Stevie will join the festivities. We'll get his thoughts on Brisket Gate and best finishes in sports history. Stay with us. The drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. We're back with more after this. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. I mean, have you seen the pictures of Stevie's brisket? Like he's wearing the black gloves too. You know when the guy wears the black gloves to handle the meat.
How am I supposed to believe that's even really Stevie?
That's a good point.
How could you turn that down though when you look at it?
It looks good.
It does look very, very good.
I don't know. When I go on trips, especially on trips, I don't take a whole lot of chances. Not when it involves having
such a weird thing to
sit
say.
In a stadium bathroom in agony.
We're gonna leave early in the morning. Like you're gonna be, it's an all day thing. I mean, you're gonna have to eat at some point. I know you don't like to eat around us, but
that's not true. He invited me to lunch today.
I ate with Houston quite a bit. I've eaten with Tucker.
Yeah.
Okay.
We ate together.
Yeah,
as I recall.
Let's bring him in now, Stevie. Joins
Brisket
us
boy.
Next on the phone. Brisket Boy, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
Russell!
Stevie, I'm excited, man. You probably thought when you invited us to this game weeks ago that we were going to blow you off, and that was my initial thought too, but here we are, man. We're going to do it.
Woo! Russell, I was cackling this morning when he sent the communique to confirm because I, too, did not think this was going to happen, but it's happening!
It's happening. How about that?
So the whole gang's coming, huh?
Yep. The four of us, you, we will go down there. We'll do the show live from Truist Park. And then we will sit underneath the Atlanta Stars drinking beverages, watching baseball as men do.
So do I need to buy tickets?
No, I got you, buddy. I got you.
Okay.
I got you.
One of the best finishes that I have experienced is 2016 Le Mans. the 24 Hours of Le Mans. It was one of Toyota's first few years in the racing game. They're leading the race the whole way for 23 hours and 57 minutes, and their car breaks down on the last lap.
That's actually kind of funny.
It's insane.
They didn't have more than a three-minute lead on second?
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, they did not finish.
How does a 24-hour race work? Is the guy driving the car for 24 hours?
You should have never asked me that, Russell. So it's a group, it's a team of three drivers per car. You can't be in the car for more than 4 hours at a time. But yeah, it's just 24 hours straight.
Like 4 hours, they stop, and then another guy drives for.
Well, yeah, they have to. They make frequent stops.
So there's these things called stints, which are about 45 minutes. So usually drivers will do 2 to 3 stints, and then you got to stop for gas and tires and other mechanical.
Is it a road course or
a circuit? Yeah.
Well, the thing about Le Mans is that it's a road course, but it's a majority made up of public roads.
Mm.
It's fascinating.
But people are driving. They're closed, right? You don't have, like, people out there driving.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course.
I don't know, man. It sounds kind of cool, but I got to say, it would be kind of cooler if just some guy has been up driving for 24 hours and he's like a trucker
on truck stop speed driving 200 miles an hour.
Listen, you all can pretend if you want. I'm the guy that keeps it real here. Racing, auto racing, is always more fun when it's really dangerous. The more dangerous, the more fun. You know it's true.
I know it's true. How about Tony V getting all irate on Game 3 on Saturday? I feel like that's the first time he's gotten that upset in like 2 years.
It's the most
– at the beginning of the
game? Yeah. It's probably the most upset we've seen him since the incident with Jeffrey Macias, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To be fair, I don't know, man. I was pretty pissed off. But as soon as it happened, there was a little voice in the back of my mind saying, I wonder if they're going to call that on SEMO. What did you guys – was that a fair – call at the end of the day?
I mean, it's by the letter of the law, yeah, but it's a rule that ought to get looked at.
He was a little bit inside, like his feet were on the grass. He didn't stay in the dirt, so he was a little bit inside, but it looked like to me that the first baseman, instead of catching the ball out, like he brought his hand almost needlessly inside, the glove was like behind the first baseman almost, to where SEMO couldn't avoid it. So it didn't end up mattering, but at the time I was pretty pissed off. And then they showed the replay, and what really pissed me off were the stupid Gator announcers. Oh, yeah, he's going to be out 10 times out of – this happened to us last time. And that got me kind of Maynardville mad, and I was getting a little red, getting the red ass at that point. So I'm glad he didn't get thrown out, though, because I feel like that could have changed.
Close.
I feel like that could have changed the game. And, you know, maybe that's some growth in Tony, where maybe 2 years ago he does get thrown out of the game. But I think he was able to control his emotions enough to realize, hey, it's the top of the first inning. I mean, that was literally, the second or third pitch of the game? My team needs me. We've got to have this win. So he was able to kind of pump the brakes on his emotions.
I'm going to be honest. I kind of wish you would have. I missed the old Tony.
Well, that guy's still in there. Yeah, you have a better chance of seeing that guy this week at Vandy. He does not like those guys.
Yeah, it was really good when everybody lost their temper against that Notre Dame Super Regional a few years back. We had our best team ever.
Have y'all noticed that the Coach Lawson basketball coach has a lisp?
Coach Lawson.
Our new basketball coach, women's basketball coach?
Caldwell. Oh.
Coach Caldwell.
Caldwell, sorry.
She has a lisp?
I have not noticed that.
I have not either.
Well, we also have a football coach that has a lisp.
I don't think we're allowed to talk about that, Stevie. Why are you making it weird?
Because he's Stevie.
I feel like that's my job on the show.
Guy, so he's got a little bit of a speech impediment. He's overcome it. He's an elite football coach. I mean, I stutter and stammer through 3 hours of this show every single day.
I mean, no, it's more so Dr. Danny hiring people with Lisp. It's like the past few hires he's made have had Lisp.
What are you doing, dude?
Lisp hater Stevie over here.
I'm curious.
It's mean.
Hey, Bear, on my way out, I will trade you not eating my deliciously smoked brisket, made by hand, with gloves on, mind you, for a big old bear hug. See ya, boy.
Not going to happen, Stevie. I got a big personal space.
You're going to give him a hug.
No, I'm really not.
Bear.
I mean, hug my brother.
Gratitude / people being nice is also prominently featured on the list.
You give me a hug.
It's a lot of Bear's unfavorite things are converging here. And
if only he'd bring some key lime pie on the side.
This has the potential. Somebody should do that. So one day I want Bear to walk into the new White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios and see everything that's on the list. It'll just be Pearl Jam CDs and King's Hawaiian Rolls.
Pearl Jam's not on there anymore.
True, it's off.
We did take it out. Yeah. Cheez-Its.
Just
biscuits
and gravy. Long-running table of just everything.
With a bunch of farmers standing around.
We're just
watching Red Panda.
We're just over here tailgating. Snacking.
It would be his personal, the Ace Ventura.
This is a
lovely room
what,
of death.
I'll tell you what would happen first.
Mom will be too.
First and foremost, I would go out to my car and retrieve something and then zing it at Red Panda. Knock her off that unicycle. That'd be first.
I don't understand the Red Panda thing. If you don't like the way something tastes, okay, cool. The way it sounds, yeah. She rides a unicycle and flips bowls under her head.
It's annoying. It's like the dumbest thing ever. Oh, she can ride around on a unicycle and throw bowls on her damn head. Woo! I'm an idiot.
There's a new drop. Dan is next. Dan, you're on the drive, Fan Run Radio. Good afternoon, sir.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. How are y'all doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Hey, I thought it'd be a cold day in hell before Russell Smith brought up NASCAR on his own on the drive.
It did have to be the closest finish in NASCAR history for him to do it, along with the Kentucky Derby being close.
Yeah.
I'm all about a good theme, Dan.
I was just going to throw in that the best finish in, I guess, history of all sports is probably the 2001 July Daytona race where Dale Jr. after his dad passed away and all that.
I don't remember that one. I do vividly remember Dale Sr. winning the 500 for the first time and how, like, all the other teams came out and, like, gave him five as he was making his way to Victory Road. That was pretty cool.
Just go back and watch the last lap of the 2001 July Daytona race. You won't regret it. Thanks for taking my call.
Is that the one where Darryl Waltrip is crying? Oh,
yeah.
That boy, Junebug, you did it.
There's also
Junebug, really?
Yeah, there's that, also a little bit of conspiracy theory that
you don't think. Yeah.
Restrictor plate was
his
a little
restrictor
bit.
Plate. The holes on his restrictor plate were just a smidge bigger. See, he didn't need anybody's help that night passing anybody.
That's a good. I mean, NASCAR conspiracy theories are.
I mean, they're up there with
the
two dirtiest sports are NASCAR and baseball.
Go on.
No, I'm just saying that his restrictor plate probably is. He's almost pretty much come out. He didn't. He said, "I've never asked."
The Schlossnagel thing last week. You weren't here, Chris. So Jim Schlossnagel, A&M's coach, does an interview, and he says. This is like a TV, this is a taped thing. We've all seen the clip now. He says there was a SEC team that got caught using a video feed in their dugout
Saw
last
that.
Week. And we're supposed to, we just sweep that under the rug? If this Major League Baseball, somebody said that. If this were college football or basketball, and somebody said that somebody's
using.
We would
have already been talking about it for almost 2 hours.
It would have been like,
hours.
Oh, my God. Like, there would have been an investigation. The SEC would release a statement. They were investigating, whatever. And it doesn't even. I mean, am I making too big of a deal of that? Doesn't that seem like
no,
big
not.
News
yeah.
that we are owed an explanation if people are betting on this stuff?
Yeah, I'd like to know, because at first we thought it was everybody was kind of, because he was cryptic. He didn't name the team, Houston, but so I think last week we kind of felt like it was Arkansas, but then you come to find out he may have been talking about Georgia. And we played him down there, did we not, or did they play up here?
They played up here.
Yeah.
And
they had one game where they went
They run ruled us.
Yeah, yeah. Condon had two in that game, and he was 4 for 5 or 5 for 6 maybe, something crazy.
They run ruled us in game one. We won game 2 and 3, right?
Yep.
I've got my best UT finishes. There are a lot to go through. I've got my 3 faves I'll share with you when we continue. It is the Drive best finishes in sports history. Today's hot question du jour. Quick timeout. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, The Drive continues. Spoken out question this afternoon. Best finishes in sports history after we had a couple good ones over the weekend. So we're getting a lot of good feedback about national sporting events. Robert says the 93 World Series. I know this is before Tucker's time. Do you remember the 93 World Series?
No.
Joe Carter. Off Mitch Wild Thing Williams. And there was no World Series in 94, so that one kind of lingered for a year. Joe Carter at the walk-off. An iconic moment in sports history, the Toronto Blue Jays winning their world championship.
Did he walk it off to win the series?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be pretty good.
Joe Carter, who I believe was a former, obviously there were several former Blue Jays, former KJs on that team as they were the Major League affiliate of the Knoxville Blue Jays at that time. Broke the Braves' heart the year before.
The what? Knoxville Blue Jays?
Yeah, the KJs.
The KJs.
What was that?
We were a Blue Jays affiliate back then.
KJs.
Before Billy the Meyer Smokies? Days.
Yeah. We were the KJs.
I do not remember that at all.
80s, 90s. Carlos Delgado was a KJ. I believe George Bell.
Yeah.
Wow. No, I didn't know that.
Junior came through here.
I do remember going to
play against the KJs.
The Cherokees games. Isn't that what they were called?
Yeah.
Knoxville Cherokees.
Originally, they
weren't
the
they
Cherokees?
Terrible?
I've got a Knoxville Blue Jays T-shirt somewhere.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It's new, like it's kind of like retro thing, but it wasn't from back then.
KJs.
But that would be cool.
I like that.
Yeah, the KJs were cool. We were having this conversation about the Smokies moving back to Knoxville, and some of the other guys in the office were disappointed. It kind of surprised me. We're disappointed that they're not changing the name and going with new branding. And
I was talking with Tim about that. We were just coming up, just spitballing ideas. I realize they're kind of established now, but I think it'd be kind of fun for
wonder if they'll ever bring
branding
back like
purposes.
10-cent beer night.
I don't think you can do that anymore. I mean, you're just giving away money at that point, right? Yeah. I mean, what it's I think $3 beers now.
Yeah,
is the
on Thursday
is the promotion?
Thursday?
Yeah. Which I mean, that's good compared to the prices we'll be paying for a week from now and at Truist.
Dear.
$3 is pretty good for a beer.
How much a beer costs in Major League Park?
I would be surprised if you can get one for under $7, for under $8. Maybe you find a $7 or $8 beer somewhere. But
I got Sticker Shock over there at UT.
UT's $13-$14 for a can.
It's like $13. I mean, it's a big one, but still.
Yeah.
That's probably the most expensive thing I ever bought you. Russ was when I
oh,
bought
really?
You a beer. Yeah.
Did you kind of regret it? You were like, man, he better like this.
No, because I was having...
24-ounce domestic beer at Truist is $10. 12 ounces, $5.
That's fine. $5 for a 12 answer?
Mm-hmm.
Can't you get that's a sixer for good, like yeah. six something?
Mm-hmm. A seltzer?
Why wouldn't you just a sixer? Why wouldn't you just pound a six pack before you go in there? Six or maybe even eight or nine.
I'd like to be able
I would
to
guess
stand.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. All right. So best finishes in sports history. I already gave you 92 NLCS, Michael Jordan over Brian Russell, whatever that was. I think it was game six of the 98.
Why don't you give us your top UT one so you don't like.
All right. So the obvious one I think everybody's going to throw out there, Alabama 22.
Yep. Had that one on my list, my top three.
I mean, that Ooh. And that might be.
Well, I'm on.
Really?
That might be that's going to be hard to top, man. I mean, that was such a cathartic explosion of joy, and it's not like oh, we kicked the field goal and then we kicked off and had to survive a
yeah,
helmet
yeah.
to walk it off like that.
Well, and to your point earlier, I mean, we're talking about close finishes, right? That ball didn't make it by much.
No, no,
not a lot of room to spare.
No, we all saw our lives flash before our eyes as it fluttered awkwardly towards
I mean,
the crossbars.
If you didn't immediately say he blocked it, just the way that one went.
It hung there forever. He blocked it. It might still go. Oh, God, please let it go. We were all bargaining with the Lord for eternity as it flowed. Just please, just if there's anything, if I'll never miss church again, just please get it over. Oh, my God, it happened.
It's pretty good. That's a pretty good number one.
Number two.
I didn't even think. You're just going to list all yours.
Well, I mean, if.
Let me go ahead.
Do you have another plan? This doesn't suit?
No. Go ahead. Name off all the famous ones.
Well, my second one might be a famous one. My third one, I think, will be kind of obscure because it's dated. My second one is Drew Gilbert.
I was thinking about that one.
Ooh, that's a really good one.
That's what I had at number one.
That's pretty good. I mean, you don't even have to say the game. You don't have to say where. You just say Drew Gilbert. Everybody knows what you're talking about, right?
I think that one has to, yeah, that one's got to take over one of my other two. That was, I mean, you're talking about a walk-off grand slam.
We were all kind of hoping that that would happen, but I don't think any of us really expected
it. Regionals. Yeah, I mean, it's
that was to win the regional, correct?
No, it was the first game.
Oh, okay.
It would have really put us behind the eight ball.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah.
And then third one, Allen Houston missing a free throw on purpose, Corey Allen tipping it in and getting fouled against Kentucky in 1993 to knock off the top-ranked Wildcats. Was so improbable and so crazy.
I don't know if I've ever seen that. I need to go check out that ending.
It's on YouTube. It's good.
Yeah, I need to watch that.
Rick Pitino.
That was my number two.
Really?
I didn't even think about 22 Alabama. My third one was just my first game, and I was a little – itty-bitty guy, Clemson, Tennessee.
Is that Larry Sievers?
Yeah, Holloway to Sievers.
That's a good one. Houston.
I had Florida 98 because I was there.
Yeah, that was.
That was just one of those, like, get-over-the-hump moments. Yeah. And I got to go on the field and just – I'll just never forget. The guy next to me caught that missed field goal.
Really?
From Collins
you
Cooper.
Were, that's where you were?
Mm-hmm.
Right next to the band.
He's a Southie.
It was in Section K. So, yeah, the if you're looking from the field to the goalpost, at that point we were left side of the goalpost. So when he missed it up and to the left, the guy standing next to me caught it. But we were going so crazy. I really don't even know how he saw it.
Where were
it
your was, all seats growing up, Russ? Were you all north end zone?
Well, I mean, we didn't have season tickets, so we sat wherever. Oh. But for that game, I was a student, and I was in the upper deck. I mean, I was up high. By the time we got down into the concourse and into making our way down the stairs, the goalposts were gone, the field was covered, and like I remember coming down, several of the metal bleachers had collapsed.
Really?
Just rows of them. Yeah, it just collapsed. It was weird.
Oh man,
I don't even know how that happened.
I don't remember hearing about that. Did you get onto the field?
Yeah.
Eventually? Yeah. That was fun.
Good
that
night.
Was fun. And then I had Georgia, the Hail Mary in 2016, just because at that point we felt pretty good about our season, and then you thought maybe it was all done because we gave up a long bomb of our own to – was that Calvin Ridley?
Riley Ridley. Younger brother.
Right. And then, I don't know, everything just fell into place. Evan Berry gets just enough on the kick return. There was
a penalty
that moved us 15 closer.
15-yarder.
And then Dobbs just lobs it up, and Juwan Jennings lives forever.
Juwan.
What a turn of events.
I'd forgotten about that one, too. That was a pretty good one.
That was a good one.
I didn't even know it happened until, like, the game had been over for, like, 10 or 15 minutes.
Had you turned it off?
Oh, I was pissed.
Yeah. I don't remember the year. Do you guys remember it was a Buzz Peters? It may have been his last year. You know how we lost all those close games?
Was it Jonathan Hargett from West Virginia? UTC did it to us, right? They lost to Chattanooga, I want to say.
I think. But
was that when he would refuse to
Call time? Or foul with three.
He wouldn't do anything. Yeah. But do you remember when John Higgins.
Yeah.
From half court in Atlanta against Georgia Tech?
Yeah, I don't remember that game. For some reason, I wasn't watching, but I know what you're talking about, yeah.
I remember watching that with my dad. It was one of those, like, oh, we did it again. Like, we're going to lose this game. And then
throws in a half court.
Slay does, like, a pump fake throw, and they bid on it. And then he rolls to the right and throws just a perfect pass to Higgins. There wasn't much time on the clock. There was, like, 0.6 seconds. So it was a true catch and turn, and it was just nothing but net from half court. It was so awesome.
Slay was nasty. So good.
He was so good.
Tucker, do you have any awesome sports finishes you want to share before we wrap up hour number two of the program today?
What, just Tennessee ones? Because you guys have taken all the good ones in my life.
Bear threw out the miracle at South Bend was awesome. Yeah. That was incredible.
Talking about going from the absolute bowels of a black depression to the highest of highs.
And I don't think the young folk can recognize what a big deal that was to beat Notre Dame. Notre Dame at that time was still, and they're still looked at today as a power brand and all this stuff. But at
that
time,
3 years out from their last natty.
I mean, they had won, I think, two in the late 80s, and that team that we beat, I think, was in the chase. And they were in the chase in 93 and 94. Remember that?
They had several future Hall of Famers on that roster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Jerome Bettis, obviously
the Notre Dame teams, the one that came in here, I think it was back-to-back years. We played them home and away, I'm pretty sure.
They came in with Ricky Waters and Rocket Ishmael.
Yeah, I mean, that team was loaded. At every position, had that really good nose tackle, played in the NFL. What's going on there, Russ?
Having trouble keeping my thing up.
That's what she said.
We'll tighten it during the break. I just look over and it's cold water.
All right. On that note, we got another hour of the drive headed your way, folks. 865-288-3131. Let's load them up. Best finishes in sports history. It's today's hot question, 288-3131. Back with more right after this.